Feel incredible!
It's not a cartoon! It's anime!
We had good tones on that.
We did.
Yeah, we're all kind of like in
harmonizing. Welcome to another episode of Animation! Three quarters of the squad is in this bitch. No ho-ass, punk-ass, bitch-ass, ice.
Is it me? Hey,
man, go fuck off. All right. So we out here, man. You know, Brennan's here. Myself, Rob is in the building.
Hi, guys.
Killer Cam on the sticks. I don't even know if that's even
Killer
the right
Cam.
Term.
Killer Cam. Killer Cam. Killer Cam.
On the boards. Over there on the keys.
The faders. That would be right. The faders.
There we go.
No ones and twos. No Hoaz Ice, he's still in AZ. Mm-hmm. He'll be back at some point. We'll see. I don't know.
I don't know.
Join that Patreon, man. Patreon.com, first and foremost, Patreon.com/AnimationSHUN, man. Join us, please. We do a lot of fun stuff on there. We do panels, polls, and all that, all the little good things for you guys. You guys get to, you know, even though we're going to be posting these podcasts back on YouTube, remember, you still get like a good 25, 30 minutes or so sometimes of just only for the Patreon, man. They get that.
After you hear
just for you.
After you hear Keenan like rapping when he talks, you can't ever unhear it. Yeah. Like I just can't now. Every time you're talking, I'm just looking like, bro, just take a breath, slow down. You can do this. We're in this together.
We sometimes same, you know what? Sometimes what it is, and sometimes I'm speaking so fast that I want to get out everything I have to say now before I forget what I'm about to say.
Do you rap though? Like for real?
I rapped. I was a battle rapper back in the day.
I bet you were.
Okay. I battle rap back in the day. I was on rap forums and everything. My name was Kino, K-H-I-N-O. I was a big Chino XL fan. He's a rapper from New Jersey. He got into it with Tupac, but I was a big, you know, I was a big fan of his, and so I named myself after him on the rap thing. And I was out there, I was battling.
What's up?
All
right.
Nobody else
freestyled today in my nope. Tube. I don't battle rap.
I feel like everybody freestyles in the car or instrumentals. Rob,
yeah,
never.
So fun.
We were on our way to Smash Brothers one time, and I think Donald and Brennan were just like, "Hey, all right, Rob, your turn." I was like, words did not even come into my brain, and I'm just like. I'm good.
Do you feel like it might be because of you're normally so used to preparing and memorizing stuff that when it comes to like, all right, to go off the cuff, it is tougher for you?
I think that is part of it, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I'm just like, I'm thinking about like, it's tough for me to just be like, all right. And then like the idea, and because like with a lot of freestyle, even battle rapping, it doesn't necessarily have to rhyme, right? It's more just about like being on beat.
Yeah, I mean, if you're battle rapping, there's a lot of times now it's no beat.
There's no beat at all. It's a cappella. You can have a cadence and a rhythm, but you just really got
to
talk.
I'll just say this: and in that in the 2K like side mission where you got to go to J. Cole and battle rap people, I'm like,
whoa,
struggling.
wait!
Have you not heard about this?
No, I haven't heard about
this.
There's
a whole side mission in like 2K where you can in this most recent 2K. Where you like go meet up with J. Cole and like put a verse or something on a song, and you have to like battle rap people, and like somebody will like they'll battle rap you, and then you like they give you a line, and then you have to pick the next line to come after it, and I'm just like I feel like I'm fucking like I don't know what I'm doing here.
I mean, 2K is getting too realistic now. I knew Cole was in the game, but I didn't know that was happening.
They're coming for you, Rob.
Oh yeah,
and you say I spoiled.
What happened?
What in
he's
the
saying spoil the 2K thing? I guess
in the two, it's on Twitter because people are killing it. It's just like,
oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
It's kind of cringe. it's pretty cringe.
I can imagine.
At least it is for my guy, like a fucking 6'7" white dude trying to battle rap.
So, Rob, like, why do you indeed make your character white?
It feels weird to try to cosplay as somebody that's.
Let me tell you something. If Rob's character was black, how would you feel?
I would feel like he's supporting the culture.
I don't think you would.
I'm saying, you say it feels weird to cosplay. Are you 6'7"?
No, but that's
RPGs,
different.
I feel like that's... I don't know why. Well, I guess it's not necessarily bad because I guess when I look at it all the time, every time I did a creative player, I tried to create an extension of myself. So I would create even how I kind of look. When I had hair, I put hair. but I would try to create as much as I can, but just made myself taller, of course. My ideal height, 6'5" or something like that. And then that's how I normally did it. But I understand you can create whatever you really want. That's what it's for. It
makes sense. I'd always make the randomest. Like, I'd always randomize all the things and then play.
Nothing, it wouldn't be you at all?
I'd pick a character from, like, something I liked and then model that character into the whatever I'm making.
Yeah.
I'd make something funny if, like, I made George Bush or some shit. Like, stuff like
that.
Yeah,
I would do things like that.
Yeah, where
take
it's just
a person
like,
in real life or
yeah,
like
make somebody that
you
just
like
shouldn't be a bad
You would make George Bush in 2K?
Yeah, I did.
That's
really
hilarious,
dog. Yeah, he looked like him, too.
Can you make him old?
Hmm?
That's hilarious.
Yeah, you can make him old.
That's so really funny. Okay, that's just so random. So you made him, like, 54 years old, and he's in the league?
I made him as old as you can go, and I think it was, like, 40.
6'5", 40-year-old.
So I made him really thin.
Out there just, like, destroys his knees first play, first game.
Well, the thing is, the age actually doesn't really affect
no
how they play.
Really,
the stats are still just the stats, you know.
So you made them nice.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was cooking people with George Bush, bro. Cooking them.
Honestly, that's actually great. That's
yo, also,
that's,
Ice,
that is pretty
you
cool.
Yeah. Shut the fuck. Look, what is this guy?
Ice is in the chat.
Yeah, Ice just said it.
Again, something you only get if you're
part of our Patreon. Oh my god. Yeah, you can get special guest Ice in the chat.
Yeah, he just said it's the greatest. Like
you
anime podcast.
You done? No, he's not.
In the entire world. Yeah.
That's the only thing that you say at, like, regular human speed.
Yeah, is it? All right, let's get into the next session.
Was that English?
Yeah. All right, so this week we will be talking about My Hero Academia Season 6, Episodes 6 through 7, and Mob Psycho Season 3, Episodes 4 through 6. But before we do that, we always have a poll for you guys. Rob, what do you have for this poll?
Yes. So this was another poll. Special guest I just put on there. Fight to the Death, new school anime. Who would win between Attack on Titan, the Titans from season 1 and 2, which he put the Colossal, Attack Titan, Beast Titan, Female Titan, Armor Titan. Was Beast Titan in season 2? Or I was thinking of, was it Feral Titan? Ymir looking one. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh. Ymir, you said Ymir looking one.
Or no, the girl named Ymir was in there. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know what you mean, though.
Versus a Demon Slayer, which is Tanjiro, Zenitsu, Inosuke, Nezuko, Giyu, Tengen, Rengoku, and Shinobu.
Oh, what?
Wait, who's up against who? What's
so this is the Titans from Attack on Titan Seasons 1 and 2 versus a Demon Slayer team.
A Demon Slayer team?
That's what they picked?
Yes.
I disagree.
Pulled from seasons 1 and 2, which included Tanjiro, Zenitsu, Inosuke.
I completely
Nezuko,
disagree
Giyu,
with all
Tengen.
Of you.
You guys can make how many guys can be on
Shinobu.
The team?
No, that's the team. That's the team. That's the face-off. Right, so right, it's yeah. It's the five Titans versus what's this?
The entire cast.
Seven or eight like Demon Slayers. Like
all
one,
I'm gonna
two,
say is
three,
this
four,
is
five, six, seven, eight Demon
this
Slayers.
Would not be a close fight.
This would be over fast.
Yeah.
Especially like, once you find out the weakness, it's a done deal.
Yeah, the demon slayers are just
well. Here's the thing. So for the audience that can't see the results, the Titans crushed this poll with 69% of the votes. Demon Slayer team only getting 31%.
How? Were y'all fucking drunk? What?
I don't even watch Attack
Patreon.
On Titan.
Patreon. What did y'all drink beforehand?
I really don't understand.
The comments were like people were going in on the comments too, just saying.
Wait,
like,
Rob, how do you feel?
I think I got to get. I think it could be close. I think the Demon Slayer team is definitely losing some folks to figure out the weakness. But once they get there, like, their whole deal is skill versus power.
Yeah.
Like, I had to look this up because a lot of people were saying in the comments, like, oh, if, like, the elements from Demon Slayer aren't real, which it's basically canon that they're not. Like, there was something from the author who's just like, people see and feel like they're being hit by these things, but it's not actual fire, it's not actual water.
It's not actual lightning.
But it's not actual lightning.
It doesn't matter.
But once they feel like it, that means they feel like they're being hit hard as fuck.
Yes.
But but on top of it, like also these guys are moving that fast, like Zenitsu.
That's not
lightning. That's him moving.
So a lot of people were saying in the comments, like if those elements aren't real, that basically Demon Slayers get washed.
The speed of these characters
is
still
that's all
there.
For show. They're not actually like shooting fire at people. They're using their swords and they're hitting.
That's
their
fine,
swords.
But they're still as fast as they're moving.
That's what I mean. It's like that though. Just because like you don't have the flashy effects doesn't mean what you're doing is as
right.
powerful.
Was
as
it?
What you're
what's
doing?
The guy's
there's
name,
no
the
fast
sound Slayers he in there. If he starts hearing the song of the Titans,
Tengen, yeah.
If he's in
he's
there,
in
if, he
there
starts,
yes.
if he starts hearing the songs, how are they gonna even hit him? You know what I'm saying? He's gonna be like, just
yeah, man,
I know your song. He's gonna be like,
and
oh,
21
oh.
Savage and Drake come on, he's gonna kill.
Oh, it's over, man. He's gonna put bonnet on and just dance on these hoes,
bro. That is, yeah. I think. Let me see. All right, let me go back to that panel because I mean,
I'm so mad.
I'm looking at it and like
this is no, but these are the same people that chose for us to watch.
Kuroko no Basket.
Kuroko no Basket. What was the worst? What's our basement again?
I will say somebody did bring up a good point that essentially if Berthold or whoever has the Colossal Titan goes ape shit, he can just like fucking nuke
everybody.
Of them.
That's true, but he would also nuke his friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, they would end up winning because it'll be one Titan left.
But I don't even think that would happen. I don't think that would be their end all. All right, from you guys, since you guys feel like the Demon Slayer team would win, who do you think is the casualties?
Inosuke
getting taken out for sure.
Inosuke's dead. I'd say maybe Giyu.
I mean, the fact that they have Nezuko might.
If she turns into a demon, I feel like she's.
They literally cannot kill Nezuko.
Yeah, she'll be fine.
Oh yeah, she's unkillable. You're right.
They can't kill her.
Yeah, they. Don't
I think Zenitsu needs to go get active immediately, or if he's not, he's dead.
Someone needs to knock him the fuck out so that he can get active.
Yeah,
yeah. As soon as they start, it's the bang.
I don't think any of the pillars are out of there. I think all the pillars survive.
No, they're not gonna have a problem.
The pillars would be.
Tengen would die.
The funny thing is, I don't want to say because Ice is in the chat. I was like, probably Tanjiro's gonna die.
Yeah,
because he's gonna be.
But
the one
he would die doing something.
He'd probably kill one of the Titans with him.
Yeah,
and save somebody's life at the same time.
He would. That's definitely.
He would be the one that finds out the weakness. Oh, that's the weakness. It's the back. Bitten in half, and it's just like it's too late.
I mean, people were talking about like can their like Nichiren swords. I think that's what they're called. Cut through like. Armored Titan type stuff, and I'm just like, I'm thinking back to the train arc, and I'm like, I mean, I don't know, that waterfall technique was cutting through like.
Think back to the first season in the training.
That's the rock.
He literally cut a rock in half. That's before he did any real breathing.
Yeah.
He had to cut an entire boulder in half.
Like,
what's the armored Titan gonna do with that?
Did he have his sword at that time?
Yes.
Either?
Well, he broke that sword and got a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do break a lot of swords.
Y'all are wild, bro.
You see Ice? Not my main character. Shut up, Ice.
yo, who's in the chat right now that voted for the Titans?
Don't worry,
man.
We'll be gentle.
Yeah.
We lying.
You fucking assholes. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It don't make any sense at all to even
y'all
think
just,
this.
Y'all just
especially
thinking...
if the people in Titan, the Attack on Titan can beat the Titans.
Yeah, without all of the training.
You're telling me that... I love Captain Levi. I love Captain Levi. He is not more skilled than these guys, man. I'm just sorry.
He's the only person I say might even be on the skill level of a Demon Slayer.
Him and Mikasa could be up there. They could be in the Demon Slayer.
They
could
be in the Demon Slayer core, and they can probably master for sure. But I just don't think that they're necessarily way better than the Demon Slayers to where they can handle shit and they can't. That's what I'm saying.
Side note, this is completely unrelated because clearly we all agree on the poll. everybody's wild. This is another thing I was researching the Demon Slayer stuff. How long do you think it takes for somebody to become a pillar?
A long time.
This was something that the author said.
I'm assuming a long time.
One of them did it really early.
I think it's a skill set. I don't think it's a long time. I think it's just
he gave two answers. Some do it quickly in this time, but most take this long.
I'm going to say between 10 and 15 years.
I would say
10 years.
All of them are fucking young. They has to be.
I'm going
to
say 5 to 10.
Yeah, he said most people, he's like, most people do it in like 5. Some can do it in like 2.
Yeah.
Which seems crazy to me.
Yeah.
Well, think about it. They're all young because all the ones, like, you can't be a pillar for that long.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely.
You won't be a pillar for that long. Like,
it's a dangerous line of work.
It is. Yeah. It's literally, there's no more dangerous line of work than
we've
that.
We've only met 2 former pillars.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we've seen one become a former pillar.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm retired.
I have retired. I have lost enough of my body and blood.
And one just died.
God damn it. I wish you guys read the manga, man. Oh, man. I wish you guys read the fucking manga someday.
Okay. No, you seen that video of like of that they took? They repurposed the Boondocks one, where it's just like anime watchers versus manga readers after the season ends, and it's just like read, nigga, read.
But you I mean, bro. Especially with this particular one, it's just like, yo, there's so much stuff we want to talk to you about certain pillars, about how certain stuff goes down. You know what I'm saying? Whoever's getting smacked up.
6 years, we'll be able to talk about it.
Exactly. You got to wait like fucking 6 years, man. All right, but so. Demon Slayers won that poll, even though you guys said they didn't. Fuck that. We're switching it.
Y'all are wrong.
The Demon Slayers, I mean, they lost technically 69 to 31%, but I
got killed.
I think y'all did it just so it would be a funny percentage.
Maybe.
69?
Yeah.
Nice.
We had
68. Let's do one more vote.
Yeah. Wait, what happened to Ice's comment is what I want to know.
No,
I didn't
deleted
catch
it
before he retracted.
He retracted. Yeah.
He can't do that on the podcast. I wonder if he would. You guys wonder if like Ice occasionally, like if he had the ability to reverse time.
I mean, he already says he doesn't say the stuff that he says, so he's already doing it.
Good point. All right, I'm with that.
I didn't say that. Find the footage. It's like, bro, I'm not going back 25 podcasts ago when you said some shit. I just know you said it. I wouldn't make up. I mean, I'm not known as a liar, so there's no reason for me to lie about some shit. That's how.
Yep, Ice is ugly.
What?
Moving on, let's go.
What? It has nothing to do with anything. All right, man. So, yes, let's get into the shiznits. All right, as always, we do our recap from Rob. We're going to do My Hero Academia first.
You want to do that first?
Yeah, bitch ass, whole ass Brennan got to get out of here. So, so you cussed me out when we were muted, man. Remember? When we were muted, you cussed me out.
He's right. It happened. I was there.
I did?
Yep.
I mean, on camera.
Check the footage. I don't know.
I can't believe you would collaborate that.
Episode 67, My Hero Academia.
All right, let's get into it.
Corroborate?
All right. As the Hero Command Center reaches out to Endeavor and gets no response, Shigaraki calls out to Gigantomachia, giving him the signal it's time to destroy everything. At the villain compound, Tokuyami takes Hawks away from the fight to start healing. Behind him, Geddon is trying to lead the villains back
into
the fight.
Wait, hold on. Hey, can you go to the wide camera?
Hold on
again?
A second.
Don't go to the fucking wide
go
camera.
Go to the wide camera, Cameron.
Dude, I'm doing this fucking idiot right here. And poor threw my phone somewhere.
He called me mean things, and now his phone's under the couch, and he's getting it. That's
How'd
all. Please
that
continue.
Anyway. Behind him, Getsun is trying to lead the villains back into the fight, but Mount Lady, knocked aside by Getsun's last huge ice attack, returns to the fray. Cementos makes her a huge cement club, and she starts laying waste to Getsun's icebergs. Inside the compound, the heroes are trying to wrangle up the last of the villain infantry, but Toga has infiltrated their ranks, disguised as other heroes, and starts stabbing and slashing them, taking them out one after another, driven crazy by the loss of Twice. The heroes look on as she transforms back into her original state, and Gigantomachia bursts out of the basement, ready to join her in the fight. At the hospital, Shigaraki hears a voice driving him to chase after one for all, but before he can leave, Endeavor appears and unleashes a torrent of fire attacks aimed to kill. However, it's not just his quirk that Shigaraki was upgrading. It was also absorbing all for one's quirks, including a healing factor, and with the combo of all of them, he goes toe-to-toe with Endeavor. No problem. While he holds Endeavor at bay, he activates another quirk, a tracking quirk stolen from one of the wild, wild pussycats back at the UA campgrounds in Season 3, and uses it to track down Deku and his one-for-all quirk, which he hopes to steal back for himself. Blowing Endeavor away with an explosion, Shigaraki takes off for his quarry. Deku hears that Shigaraki wants him over the comms and decides to run away from everyone so he doesn't endanger them. He gives everybody...
Did you use the word quarry?
His quarry, yeah.
Okay, please continue.
Yeah. Deku hears that Shigaraki wants him over the comms and decides to run away from him and from everybody so he won't endanger them. And he gives everyone an excuse so they don't follow. But Bakugo, of course, knows the secret, says he's coming with him, especially because he wants revenge for when Shigaraki kidnapped him and led to All Might's final fight. The two lead Shigaraki on a chase through the city with Endeavor following closely behind, wondering why and what Shigaraki wants, what he wants with Deku at all. Detecting that he's being followed, Shigaraki heads to the sky, unleashes a powerful radio wave attack that knocks out the hero comms and sends electricity down to a group of cables connected to vats underground. He then descends, landing right in front of Deku and Bakugo, and it looks like he's about to kill them both until Gran Torino zooms in, saves the two boys, telling them that they aren't ready to fight him yet.
Hey, hold on. He's been clutch, bro.
Yeah?
He's been kind of clutch.
Isn't Todoroki?
No, you talk about Gran Torino?
Gran Torino.
Oh, yeah, Gran Torino. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I thought it was really interesting, too, and just to take a quick break from it, when you saw Shigaraki's vision and he was tracking, you could see Bakugo and Deku's light, there is a third dot that's, like, following behind them the whole time.
Oh, I didn't
And it's got to be Gran Torino, just like these two fucking kids.
I thought it might have been... Well, I guess it can't be Endeavor, right?
It can't be Endeavor because Endeavor's behind him. So somebody's chasing after. So just a small detail that I was like, somebody's going to show up at some point.
I'd also point out that Endeavor is throwing the fucking hands.
Oh, we're going to get to that.
He is absolutely.
He is throwing the fucking hands.
Yes.
I'm like, Endeavor is not a hoe. Like, he's going to die, but he's not a hoe.
No. Ryukyu flies in after, and when Shigaraki tries to kill her with the decay, it doesn't work, and she sends him flying instead. Shigaraki looks down and sees that the eraser head is below, canceling out his quirks, in the clutch as well. Endeavor, with help from his sidekick, chases after Shigaraki. Nearly he melts him, but Shigaraki's incredible strength can't be canceled out, and he uses it to dodge the hero's attacks. As Deku, Bakugo, and Gran Torino land, the old hero tells them that they should hide for now. If Shigaraki gets his hands on Deku in one for all, it could end the fight once and for all. But he says he is the only one. He's only one, and the heroes are many. And as the heroes charge in to join the fight against Shigaraki, the vats below break open, and an army of near high-end Nomus that Shigaraki carefully avoided decaying, and then powered up with his radio wave, crawl to the surface to fight them. In the sky, Shigaraki gives Endeavor and Ryukyu all they can handle, knocking them both to the ground. He realizes that he can get his powers back if he can take out Eraserhead and charges at him. And as Eraserhead's just like, "All right, here we go," and draws a knife ready to kill him, Deku and Bakugo tackle Shigaraki, Rocky and light him up with explosions, refusing the orders to hide. Deku explains that as long as their quirks are kept in control by Eraserhead, as long as Shigaraki's quirks are kept in control by Eraserhead, he can't steal one for all, so their primary mission should be to protect their teacher. Endeavor recovers and joins the fight, and he, along with Gran Torino, try finishing the villain while he's distracted by All For One's voice in his head, but Shigaraki mentally overpowers his master's will, saying that he will finish the fight because it's what he wants, not his master's desire, and he easily bests the number one hero and All Might's teacher in that fight. Shigaraki spots Deku Go, or Deku Go.
Deku Go is a great name.
That's their combo. Yeah, that's their combo name. He spots Deku on the ground and goes for him, but it's all a trap set by Bakugo to unleash a huge pillar of flame. As he roasts in the fire, Deku and Endeavor follow up with devastating 1-2 punch combo that lights up Shigaraki. At the villain HQ, Headphone Jack hears the trouble from the front that Giganto Machia breaks free from the underground, and she warns all the other students that something huge is coming. And sure enough, Giganto Machia picks up several of the main villains, including Spinner, Mr. Compress, Toga, Dobby, and Skeptic, and starts running to meet up with Shigaraki. Mount Lady does her best to hold him back, but he's just too strong, and he easily pushes her back. Heroes are rushing in to help, but Geten blocks them with ice. That is until Cementos completely envelops him in cement. Still, Redestro is now out from the underground as well, and he uses his souped-up stress powers to keep Eggshot, Fat Gum, and more tied up, and more of the top heroes tied up at the battle site at the HQ. Arbor and Midnight are able to break free, however, go to help Mount Lady, who Giganto Machia has literally tossed aside at this point. But Dobby uses a sneak attack to nearly fry Arbor, and Mr. Compress throws several blocks of concrete that he compressed at Midnight, badly injuring her. As more villains run towards the bloodied Midnight, she reaches out to Yao Yorozu and the other students and tells them it's up to them to stop Giganto Machia. She tells her to break the law and use her powers to create anesthetics to give to the heroes. And as the other students look to Yao Yorozu for leadership, she tells them, hey, we didn't come become heroes to run. Get ready to fight. And the giant monster Giganto Machia is currently dragging Mount Lady in a full sprint, carrying a full load of some of Japan's deadliest supervillains towards them with every step. And that's where we ended this stretch of My Hero Academia.
Thank you, Rob, for that. Yes. Braxton Brown said, don't Google Deku Go. I'm thinking he's bullshitting.
No, don't do it.
Don't Google what?
I Googled Deku Go.
Yeah, don't do it. You're going to wind up with some fan fiction.
You already knew this.
Oh, yeah, because whenever they ship like two people together, they'll combine their name. Like, I already, yeah.
Bro,
I wasn't familiar with it, but as soon as I said it, I'm like, I'm sure that's a thing.
Dog, I Googled it.
Oh,
yeah. I love how Keenan's just like, don't do it.
And then Brennan does it immediately.
Yes. Yeah.
He probably was just like, he probably thought I was bullshit. Yeah, I was just, yeah, that's not crazy.
No, what is it?
No, I think everybody should. You should go ahead and Google,
go ahead and Google Deku Go.
Deku Go, enjoy. Followed by Two Girls, One Cup. If you don't know what that is, enjoy your life. It'll be a good time.
Oh, man. So, yeah, thank you, Rob, for that recap.
Don't Google. Yeah, I'm right. I'm not even putting that out
there.
Yeah.
No. Go ahead, Rob. What is it?
Don't Google Rob Enid.
Rob Enid?
Rob what?
Rob Enid.
Me and Rob. Yeah, or maybe, yeah.
Rob Enid? Oh, yeah.
Slash fiction name.
All right, man. So, yeah, this is, they getting active. This show has been fucking incredible this season so far.
Man. Man.
Let's get into
it. Wait, but before we go into questions.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about Endeavor?
Yes, we are.
And the questions?
Yeah.
Okay,
it's,
please.
Yes, it's somewhere in there.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
All right. First question. Will you be disappointed if that's when the students from UA stop Giganto Machi from meeting up with Shigaraki? Rob?
Yeah. I feel like, there's part of me that's just like, I feel like they got to stop him. Or they certainly have a plan in order where they're going to stop him. But it feels like it would be like, this giant tank of a supervillain literally carrying all these other dudes. I feel like in reality, I feel like these villains should run through these students.
Yeah.
But based on the show that we're watching, I feel like that's not going to happen. I feel like they're going to have to make some sort of stand to stop them there. And I'm just like, can I buy that? Like, this isn't even necessarily, like, is Todoroki with that group? No. Like, it's not even just, like, the best of the best. I feel like it's kind of the B-list of the 1A class. You know, you've got Tape Boy, I think, is there. You've got Headphone Jack. You've got, like, you know, Arms and Mouth Man. You've got, like, he's just, the people that seem like they might be the most effective are the Mud Guy from Class B and the Mushroom Lady from Class B. Because they are just, like, literally just, like, chemical warfare,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah.
And if they can slow down the villains with that, I'm like, okay.
Where is, I mean, if this is me, I'm getting my strongest people. Where is the dude that can control you or brainwash
with
you with? Yeah. Where the fuck is he at?
That's a great question.
He should be around. He's going to have to pull up. He's going to be super clutch at some
point.
This
is this would be a great opportunity for him to be.
Because he could just be
absolutely.
Like,
in the chaos? Yeah.
Yeah, he could just be like, where are you going? Like, I'm going where I want to go. Now you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, now you stop. Now you work for me.
If that's me, he's with us. Even if he wasn't in like the initial class, like, he's important to situations like this because they don't know his quirk.
He still scares the shit out of me, though. Like, I mean, even have him on your team, he'd be like, hey, did anybody get the time? Everybody's like,
yeah, right.
I mean, if I'm him, if y'all don't bring me on certain missions, I'm like, all right, man, you're making me into a villain. I got to do this now. Now you're making
me
into a villain.
He seemed like a villain when he popped on the scene.
Didn't he? Yeah. I think that was part of his whole thing was he was just like, I have a power that everybody assumes would be a villain power, and that's like kind of his motivating thing that he wants to get past
that.
Yeah,
that was his thing. Which I mean, Bakugo kind of...
Bakugo's a little bit like that too, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
He let loose.
Would I be disappointed?
Oh, he's not licensed. Yeah, I guess.
Man, fuck all that.
Yeah, this, I'm like, this is the end times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
she's not licensed to make anesthetics either. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
That's true. They're already breaking the law, so.
I want people to die in this show. So I want him to get there. I want people to get crushed. let me know in the comment section, and this is not a spoiler, but just say yes or no. Are they skipping a certain part and going straight to the end right now? Because I feel like they're missing like a whole section that they're not showing, and they're about to just get to the shits until like this might be the last season.
Oh, maybe. Because it feels like there still should be more left.
This can't be the end.
Manga-wise, there's definitely more left. But I think maybe I missed, I didn't read all of the manga, so I did skip
Braxton
to a certain
says
part.
No.
All right. You said that they...
They're not skipping anything.
Okay, cool. Perfect. All right, so...
Yeah, I like how you forgot the question. Like you said
yeah,
no,
I did.
Like, what did I ask again?
I did. So that's,
no, what?
So that's good. So it's like shit is...
Angrily.
Shit is going to... This is stuff happening now, but there's something going to go down right after that, and there's something going to go down right after that. So that means they got hella shit. If this season goes to like 30-something episodes... This can catapult this shit to back to a high end.
There's no way it's gonna do that though, because if you look at like the level of animation that they're doing right now,
crazy
like, budget wise, like and time wise, there's no way they're gonna be able to get this that far. Like this is gonna be like 12 episodes, maybe 13.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, because it's like too much is happening too fast. This is the fastest pace the show's ever been. The animation budget is being blown through, and we're only 6 episodes in. You know what I'm saying?
So, but I think they still have to go through this and the part that I'm talking about in the same season. Mm. And that animation budget is going to have to be fire, too.
All right. Well,
yeah.
I want to answer his question.
Yeah.
No,
I'll say is that, Rob, I agree with you to an extent, but I also think that... So, first of all, I agree with you in concept, but I think you also made the counterpoint as well, is that everything in the show is about matchups. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all about matchups. Like, so...
It's like boxing.
It is. It's like boxing. It's like some of these kids have long reach. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to like a big, giant person.
Sure.
Like specifically, the person that changes the whole fight is this mud guy. Like, this mud person, in theory, can make it so he can't move anywhere anymore. Like, yeah, he's still stronger than everything else.
Oh, no,
but,
for sure. Like, yeah, I want to see this dude step in a mud puddle, and he's going to come to a very sharp and quick stop.
Yeah,
and everybody on top of him.
Now that's gonna be the problem. No, they're gonna come off, but like they're gonna be fine.
Yeah, of course.
But the point being is that's where it becomes problematic. That's where I'd say that's where your point comes up. If it was just the big guy, then I'd be like, okay, they might be able to stop him. And the thing is that we also can't forget that we also still do have the hero that could have stopped him that almost got to him but got stopped by the guys on her back. If she would have gotten his face and stripped herself, you know, I'm talking about the girl who can make
Midnight.
Yeah, Midnight. If Midnight would have gotten in his face, it would have been lights out for him. He would have been gone.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not dead.
What is her power again?
She can make
people fall asleep.
Yeah, her skin, if she an aroma comes from her skin that makes people fall asleep, which is the reason why she knows that the other girl can't do the anesthetics. But I'd be willing to bet the reason why she told her to make anesthetics is because she's making it based off the molecular structure of her quirk, because she knows her quirk could do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So she probably told her, like, here's my quirk, analyze it, get the molecular structure, so in case there's ever an emergency, you can make it.
Yeah.
Now she's making it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why the heroes are the heroes. It's like, it's not about being the strongest, it's about being also the smartest at times. That's what Mayweather was. He was literally the smartest fighter in the ring at all times.
Did you see him last night?
Yeah.
He worked that dude.
I mean, I don't think
it wasn't even a good fight. Like, he was just like,
any regular guy is just not.
Did you see it?
No. No, I didn't know he was fighting.
No, he's fighting against a guy that had 20 pounds on him. You know, and Mayweather just mollywopped his ass, like knocked him out, like you know, like TKO, like the ref stopped it because Mayweather was hitting him too much.
Yeah. All right. So next question: who's been your favorite hero in the fight against Shigaraki, or just that whole stuff going on against Shigaraki? And of course, I'm pretty sure we might all have a very similar answer, not the same answer, but to see Endeavor just,
bro,
to me, this is redemption. Like in a sense of like as a character, he is going to fucking work.
He is throwing all. He's throwing the kitchen
sink. I ain't gonna say because I know Robert has what he wants to say. So Rob gonna say what he's gonna
say. No, you can go for it because I actually think I'm gonna pick somebody different.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So Rob had a good point. He was just like, "Yo, we're now over in a place where there's nobody at. Why the fuck is this guy not going ham?" And just me personally, I feel Rob. I'm like this. At this particular point, they've killed people. He's got to die. There's no reason to take him in. Nope. There's no reason to be like, "All right, let's plead with this guy. Let's talk to him." You're dying.
Yeah.
I'm going full Disco Inferno, whatever it is.
Shoot to kill.
Isn't that kind of like counter to what it
is? I don't give
a
fuck what it is.
But the thing is, if you're just like, "Oh, there's somebody so powerful," now the ethics that we've been building and the standards we're putting up to don't matter anymore.
Either that or he kills everybody that you love, or including yourself.
I mean,
it's
we don't know that yet. We still got Eraserhead. You know what I'm saying? Like, we still have Eraserhead. We're shutting down his quirk. He's very powerful, but he actually hasn't killed very many yet. He's killed a lot under the rubble, but point being is that all I'm saying is, like, this goes into the Batman-Joker argument. That's all.
Hey, and then
Red Hood had some things to say about that.
I love Red Hood.
I'm just saying, he killed Eraserhead's homie, and I'd be like, "Endeavor, just pull the trigger."
Eraserhead's so dope.
Yeah, he is. What'd you think?
I don't want to take yours, but I was going to say...
Go for it. Just...
I mean, honestly, Eraserhead.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Eraserhead. Like, if it wasn't for Eraserhead, all those heroes would be dead right now, except for Endeavor.
Possibly.
They would be dead. He would have gotten to the ground, and he would have done this shit again. Like, boop, touch the ground. Any hero on the ground right now, within the radius of that giant, like, crater he puts at the Earth, they're all dead. And all of his teammates are not. We now know he can control the decay. So he can just touch the ground, and everything that the ground touches is now dead that he chooses to die.
Everything the light touches.
So for me, it's either him, or you could make a modest argument for Gran Torino simply because he stopped him from getting all for one. I mean, one for all. Like, because Gran Torino is just like, he's a deterrent. He's not fighting, really. Like, he threw a couple slaps.
You know, I was hoping you wouldn't double up so Rob can have an answer. But
I did that on purpose now because he said I could do what I wanted. But yeah, go for it.
Rob.
No, I was going to say Eraserhead too, just because even just off of, like, obviously you've got Endeavor doing his thing and you're just like, all right, that's a power versus power matchup. I just love that, like, Shigaraki charged Eraserhead and he was just like, "Let's fucking go."
No, he started pulling shit out. He
pulled
like,
a knife out and was just like, "I will fucking stab you right now. Like, I'm not fucking scared of you."
So is Eraserhead erasing only that one quirk or is he erasing?
He's erasing multiple quirks because you think about it. Ever since Eraserhead's come onto the scene, he hasn't been shooting any of the stuff out of his hands.
Yeah.
He's only been using physical strength since Eraserhead.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Is like,
and healing.
No, he hasn't been healing.
He hasn't healed.
So he's erasing all of his quirks, but like that's kind of what they were talking about, or at least I was a little confused at first, but what I got from it is he can't erase super strength.
No.
Like once you're super strong, you can't take that away.
Gotcha.
So that's why he's like able to move, and they're just like, "Oh shit, he's strong like All Might." It's not like he has a jumping quirk.
Yeah.
He's fucking jacked, and he's got super strength.
How terrifying is this guy? What doesn't he have? He can heal himself. Like he was like, y'all have these radios. He jumps into the air and disperses radio waves and destroys all the radios underneath him. I'm just like, that moment for me, that's like the most terrifying thing I could have seen him do.
Did you guys, I guess this is a side tangent or question or whatever. Did you guys think that Shigaraki?
You got it.
Sugar Shane Mosley?
You want some water? Here you go, man. You got some water.
Did you ever think that he was going to be this before these past two seasons?
No. I mean, I thought he was going to be obviously the main villain, but I never thought he was going to be fucking just, Souped Up Seven, wasn't that his name? The guy, he's got it all.
One for all.
Yeah.
I was wondering how he's going to be the main villain at one point because I was just like, all right, he, from a distance, you can take him out pretty easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
and now he's just like you say, he's quirked up, you know, on roids, but it's just like,
I always imagine that he'd be more on the lines of like the guy in the chair. like the mastermind, because that's who he's been this whole time.
Right, exactly.
And so I thought that they were going to be like, all right, now we've developed all these ridiculously powerful no moves, which they did. What's killer. That's what's crazy.
Wait, and he's essentially one too.
Yeah, that's what's crazy to me about this, though, is like, for me, I had the idea that they were going to develop all these crazy, you know, villains, and that's why they gave him Giganta and all this other kind of stuff, because it's just like, yo, like, now he has the army. You know, he has an army. He has the lieutenants of the army. He has all these extremely powerful villains. He's going to tell them where and what to do. I never thought, like, okay, also, he's going to be powerful enough to probably kill them all himself. You know what I'm saying? Like, he is the most powerful being we've ever seen on the show, including All for One. But All for One didn't have Decay.
Yeah.
Decay is the most terrifying attack I may have seen in any anime.
It's up there.
Outside
up
of there. Aizen's sword, Decay, I'm trying to think what else is, like, really that bad. I'm sure that Ice is on there screaming about some Naruto power right now. You know, Naruto has all the greatest powers, you know? But just saying, like, this is... His power set is terrifying, and Decay itself alone...
It is, for sure.
...is terrifying.
Yeah. All right, next question. Do you think Deku will unlock another quirk before the fight with Shigaraki is over?
I think so. This would be a great time to do it. I'll tell you what. If you ever had a time you want to develop or unlock a new quirk, this is time. Because I'm just thinking, too, like, I don't think this will be the last season, just based on what we've seen.
Well, now that I know that they're not skipping anything, I don't think it can't.
Yeah, and it's just like, I think we're going to start picking up steam, especially now that we know that he has multiple quirks locked away inside of One for All. So I do think, I mean, we already saw him basically using his new, you know, black
whip or whatever,
black whip power to like Spider-Man through the city. So like, Tape Boy, you're out of here. Like, all of a sudden, like, your powers.
Wouldn't it be funny though? Tape, like Gigantic gets there and just kills Tape Boy, just crushes him, and that's just
wow.
That would be like Bleach right now.
Yeah,
you know, people that we've known has been around for all these seasons, just suddenly, just, and he's dead,
gone.
It's like, what? Hold on,
nope.
Like, he's never dead. Even had a moment of, like, anything.
Yeah.
But I also think, especially because we're seeing Shigaraki talking with, you know, One for All in his, or All for One in his head, I think, and that Deku has already in this fight heard from the original One for All that he would hear from them again.
Yeah.
And they would reach out and be like, hey, man, shit looks bad.
Yeah, you need some help.
You need some help. Here's another quirk for you to unlock. And that would help level him up again.
Mm-hmm.
To hang at least a little bit, because right now, I mean, he's trying.
Right now, it's looking real. What about you? What about you, Brennan?
I mean, I don't know what else could happen. Like, the thing is, we don't know what the other quirks are.
No.
There has to be an ace in the hole of some sort. Because right now, like, the thing is, it's crazy to me. That another reason I'm loving the show right now is that they built up these heroes in the last season. Bakugo, Todoroki, and Midoriya, where it's like, oh, shit. They about to light some people up. Like, these people don't want no problems with these guys. Midoriya got a new quirk. He's over here like 40%, maybe 50% cowling. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going in.
Yeah.
And then, like, then the villains started going, and you're just like, oh, this isn't even close.
Yeah.
No.
Like, this isn't even, like, if Midoriya, because Midoriya's like, let's go. I'm like, bro, he would, like, when you talk about, like, he would get KO'd.
Yeah.
Like, for real. Like, this would be the next KO. If it was just, if there was these two guys in an arena right now,
he would get destroyed.
He would get massacred.
Yeah.
And Bakugo would get massacred too.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, even though Bakugo showed up with the fucking hand.
I mean, at first he got kind of like, he was just like, are you just shooting fireworks at me? What are you doing right now?
And Bakugo's like, oh yeah, for real, fireworks. He let go. Boom. He was like, feel this. That's where he had to heal. That's the last time he healed.
Yeah.
Mm.
That was before, I think that was before Eraserhead got there.
No,
Eraserhead was
that's
there.
The last thing that happened to him.
He did have to, oh, wait, we haven't seen what happened after
that. We haven't seen what happened to that because, yeah, Bakugo unleashed a huge pillar, and then Midoriya fucking decked him.
Yeah.
And then Endeavor followed that up and decked him again.
Yeah.
So he got hit hard twice.
Yeah. Man, yeah, I'm with Brennan. I don't know what quirk they're going to, or what can even be the quirk that can even help in the situation right now. I think that they might have to retreat.
Yeah,
and I think there's going to be something to where both parties are going to have to retreat, not because, you know, for whatever reason, it's like, oh shit, we either lost something or like we gotta just kind of regroup or whatever the case may be. And I think they're going to both need this.
I could even see, and sorry to interrupt, I know we haven't gotten to Brennan's answer, but I could even see it get to a point where like he unlocks something, but it's not in his control, and that could be another problem where they're just like, Deku, I don't know what the fuck. Like, maybe it scares off Shigaraki somehow, but it's also a problem for the heroes, because that kind of happened during the hero training when he unlocked Black Whip too. Yeah. Like, it was not great.
Yeah.
He like freaked out, and what's her face, Ochoa or Gravity Girl there had to like calm him down.
Mm-hmm.
Had to do, you know, son's getting real little big guy sort of deal, you know.
Yeah, I mean we got Brennan's answer. Brennan said
yeah, I did.
Yeah. Last question for My Hero. Does My Hero this season feel like a whole different show, for the better or for the worse? You guys can go ahead and answer. I'll
go first.
Yeah.
Another reason why I'm really enjoying this season is because there's a really stark contrast.
Mm.
Is that this show has been a very light focused show. It's been fun. It's been funny. It's been cute. You know, there's been moments that have been really intense, which is why the reason we've hung on is because the intensity of the show has always been quite high when it gets there. You know, but also there's bands playing and they're actually in school. And like they really have been going for like these kids are actually kids and they're in school, but they might have to grow up a little faster than you would think. This season is a whole completely different ballgame where it's just like this isn't about growing up anymore.
Yeah.
This isn't about school anymore.
Mm.
This is truly about survival.
Yeah.
If you guys don't step up right now, you will die and everyone you love will die. The world will be reshaped and it's not even a maybe.
Yeah.
So this is a complete, this is a different show because it's a different situation now. The stakes have changed. Before it's like, oh, there's this villain attacking this area or these has this idea to kill heroes. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's individual, isolated incidents of things going on. Whereas now there's an entire army, there's funding, there's organization, and then there's the motherfucking one of the most powerful villains we've ever seen in anything.
Yeah.
Showing up. And it's just like, yo, I feel like I'm playing like one of those hard ass Nintendo games right now.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, I don't know how I'm gonna win this, but I'm gonna sit here all day until I figure it out.
Yeah.
Rob.
Yeah. I don't know if I can say it feels like a totally different show, but it definitely feels like it's doing more of the stuff that I like.
Yeah.
I'll say that much. Where it's just like it feels like the stakes are high. You know, you don't know who's gonna make it. One of my favorite parts of the show was the assault on Overhaul Space.
Yeah.
And this entire season has been that cranked up another like five or six notches.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like I think they're doing something completely different from what they've done before, but they're just like, all right, we gave you basically a whole season of setup so we could just give you a season of pure just shit like getting blown the fuck up. Like they just went crazy this season.
Yeah. I mean, for me, yeah. For me, it feels like, I mean, I guess you can, that's a good point about the Overhaul thing. I still feel like if they did this, they had did this particular thing.
Yeah.
But if they had this tone like season 3, season 2, holy shit, I think this show would be up there in my top 3, top 5 for sure. Mm. And if it ends the way how it's going right now, even in the manga, it has a good chance to even still jump back in there because they're fucking. I feel like they're about to go ham nonstop from now until the end.
Yeah.
I don't remember much filler, to be honest with you, even going on through this. I think everything is just real shit. it's literally just real. Like, just like, all right, man, fuck, yeah. We gotta.
Did you watch Harry Potter or read any of the books or anything
like
that?
No, I didn't.
I understand. Yeah, I mean, it's not for everybody necessarily, but I will say it. My Hero reminds me a lot of this, and maybe Brennan, I know
I've read all the books 4 times.
But essentially, like, the first few books, like, that's what I loved about that series is because it was coming out as I was growing up, it felt like every book grew up with you.
I agree.
Where, like, the first couple books, you're just like, okay, like, there's some kids.
World, yeah.
They get some trouble, and then everybody gets out, maybe scrape a few knees, but they learn some lessons. And then all of a sudden, like, book 4 comes around, and they're just like, kids are dead.
Yeah.
Children are dying.
Yeah.
People are bad and shit is going down.
Yeah, so that happens in the movies too, that people are dying.
And by the time you get to book 7, there's a huge battle where just like characters that you've been following for the whole series are getting killed like fucking off screen, essentially.
Yeah.
Shit.
Like shit goes
nuts. You just
nuts.
Hear about it. It's like, yeah, this person died. Like, wait, hold on. What?
Yeah.
He died?
Like, it is like a Bleach thing where you're just like, oh, you expect like everybody's always turned out okay. And then all of a sudden, people are fucking dying.
I agree.
And the stakes are real. And I feel like that's what's happening here. Yeah,
I agree. And the thing is,
even Clock Gang, yes.
To your point, to Keenan, this show wouldn't be able to give us the feeling we're getting right now without the buildup that it did. Like, you couldn't get here with like the level of fucks that we give without building up the characters the way that not exact. I say there's a couple things that they could have cut down. Specifically, every time I think about anything that My Hero Academia can lose, it's obviously the stupid band thing, and maybe even like the provisional exams.
Yeah.
You know, like that whole section wasn't super necessary, but at the same time, it's like if the show wasn't based on a school, You know what I'm saying? Like, then you could make that argument, but it's a school.
What I'm saying too, I mean, like, so is Jujutsu Kaisen. So what I'm saying is they can still cut out some of the either the filler or even some of the stuff that's in the show where it's like they could have trimmed some of the stuff down and got straight to the point with some stuff. But I can see what you're saying too. Is just like the fact that it is going this way now, you might feel we're probably feeling that way because of that.
Yeah, it's been such a long buildup.
Yeah,
and you know,
it's like finally we're
and
back.
Nobody's died really. Yeah. One person died, and they made it the biggest deal in the show.
Yeah,
now like a flurry of heroes have died.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, I forgot Crust is the number six hero.
Yeah,
yeah,
gone.
He's dead.
Yeah. Fucking gone.
And you know, went out like a G, kind of. Yeah. You know, smiling a thumbs up, but.
And save what's his name?
He
too?
Saved Eraserhead. He
saved Eraserhead.
In all honesty, he saved everybody.
Yeah.
By saving Eraserhead, he saved everybody.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. All right, so like let's get to our likes and dislikes and our scores of this. I know you guys said you gotta probably dip soon, so go ahead. What's your likes, dislikes, score?
I mean, I like everything we've been talking about, man. This show is going hard. Like, people are dying. The villains are stacked. And I love it. Mm-hmm. You guys know I love a solid antagonist. And mm-hmm. we have one of the most solid antagonists I've seen in anything.
Yeah.
I legitimately do not have a real theory outside of magic coming out of Midoriya's ass of how they're going to defeat him. If Midoriya, if you remove him having magic coming out of his ass right now, it is a complete loss. Mm. Like, the heroes are going to lose in every way, shape, or form. Endeavor is going to put up a good fight. He is going to die. Bakugo is going to blow some shit up and then die. Everybody is going to die if Midoriya doesn't do something right now.
Yep.
And so,
interesting.
For me, that's what I think. I mean, I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. But somebody's going to have to pull some magic out their ass. You know, like, it just has to happen because everything is stacked so terribly. Hopefully the mind guy comes and gets Gigantia to attack him.
Yeah, right.
Or something. But
that's actually that would be a great pull if he was able to imitate Shigaraki's voice and
it'd be
to
over.
Listen to him.
Yeah. It'd be over.
Yeah.
So that would be great. Either way, I'm giving this stretch 8,000. I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. The fight scenes alone, even watching how Endeavor has evolved. Like,
he's
evolved.
Absolutely.
He has flame wings now. He learned how to fly in the fight against that Nomu. He is flying now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, not only is he flying, the way he's moving through the air, bro, he looks like All Might. So, wait, what is that?
This is magic out of his ass. Essentially, a power coming out of his ass.
Oh, hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
Very funny.
That is very funny. So I give it 8,000. I'm all the way in. Only reason I just feel like it's about to get better, and I need to have room to give it a higher rating. So 8,000 it is, and I don't have any dislikes. I have zero notes of like, man, I wish this was happening. It's like, no, it's going to, like, as soon as they pulled out those no moves, I was just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I was like, oh, well, shit. Here we go.
Yeah. There's only one of him. Not so fast. I don't know about that.
For me, man, this is what I love in anime. This is why I watch anime. This is all heat, no smoke. People are getting just fucked up.
It's
just
a lot of smoke.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of smoke, but it's a lot more heat.
Yeah.
And God damn it, I am all in. I watch the same thing. Edge of my seat. I don't really have any bad notes for this either. I'm sure when Rod speaks, he's going to say something like, I guess you can say that.
He always does it. He's just like, well, it'd be better if you just take this one.
Yeah, the color correction was in.
The editing was a little but no, this show, man, they have been going in. I feel like even with all this stuff going on, they're giving the heroes shine. You know, you're not forgetting about certain heroes. Like I say, Gran Torino came through, saved ass. Bakugo came in there. He's still doing what he does, and we're about to see what's going to happen next. I give it an 80. I give it an 8,200. I understand what Brent is saying, room to grow. But I love these stressful episodes. They were just fun to watch. I probably even go back and watch them again. Rob.
Yeah, I don't really have too many complaints, honestly. Like, I am sitting over here trying to think of, like, what could I say about, like, you know, not to, like, take it down, but, like, how could it be better? What's stopping me from giving it a 9,000? I don't necessarily have anything.
Yeah.
It's...
You heard mine. Mine was just, it feels like it's about to get better.
Yeah, that's the only thing. It's just, like, I feel like I can't give it a 9,000 only because, like, I think it's going to keep getting better, number one. And, I mean, yeah, my biggest complaint is I want more of it. Like, when an episode ends, I'm like, that's it. What are you talking about?
Wait, that wasn't 20 minutes. Hold on a second.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, every single moment, like, all these things are happening. I'm just like, even the commercial break, like, the halfway, like, breaks, those little moments.
You gotta
are just
take
like,
a breath.
Holy
shit. You gotta take a breath every time.
They're killing it. I mean, I think they're banging on all cylinders. I'm, yeah, I. I'm going to give it an 8,200, but it's 8,500, really. It's at least 8,500.
Actually, you know, I apologize to do this. I normally don't, but I'm going to go ahead and go up to 8,200. Yeah. It deserves it. And, I'm going to whisper that as well. It's probably an 8,500.
It's probably 8,500.
Yeah. It's literally that reason why Room to Grow. But yeah, that was My Hero Academia episodes 6 through 7.
Yeah.
So let us know what y'all think. Brennan is
I got to go, guys. Much love.
Peace out. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Brennan. Bye.
Y'all never forget, ice ain't shit.
And now we're going to get into Mob Psycho Season 3, Episodes 4 through 6.
Yes.
Now that bitch-ass Brennan is out of here. My phone's in my pocket. My phone's in my pocket, motherfucker. And it's zipped up. Get the fuck up out of here, man.
Oh, not the snacks.
Get your punk ass up out of here, man. But throw my phone, sucker.
I should just push you over.
Just run. I sue.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so Mob Psycho episodes 4 through 6, yeah. Season 3, what we got, Rob?
This brings us up to current. This is where we're at with Mob Psycho. When Mob gets to school, he sees Misato and asks her why she stood him up for the Psycho Helmet meeting. She explains, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. The other day, I was before the conference, the real founder showed up. I realized it couldn't have been you this whole time. Yeah, sorry for involving you in this in the first place, and just walks away, leaving Mob completely confused. Then, at the end of school, he goes to check in with the other girl he was supposed to meet up with. I have her name here somewhere. But after school, he goes to the paranormal club. Mob asks Tomei, that's her name, the same question. She also forgot about them having a whole like date that they were supposed to go on, and she got invited to the big Psycho Helmet seminar. And on top of that, she's changing the club to be the official Psycho Helmet worship club at their school. It's all a bit odd to Mob, and when he tells Reagan about it at work, he shows him Reagan shows him the video of the founder at the convention, but neither of them recognize who it could be. Reagan says that Mob's popularity is over, but you know, hey, you can still help me at the job, and tells Mob about all the complaints he's been getting from the root damage throughout the city, and they realize it's all leading back to the Divine Tree. Because they have a partial hand in creating the huge broccoli in the first place, Reagan says, hey, you know, we should probably destroy it. All around the city, followers of the Psycho Helmet cult are handing out candies and foods made with the dust from the Divine Tree. Hanazawa is also gifted some cookies made with it, and he tries some, and all of a sudden starts to feel love for the Divine Tree and Psycho Helmet, springing up within him, and he realizes it's brainwashing, and he forces himself to throw up and investigates the Divine Tree. He runs through the city, and after arriving at the giant broccoli, he tries to destroy it, only to find it protected with psychic energy. Roots shoot up and drag Hanazawa into the tree, and he is confronted by fake Mob, who calls himself God. And he's briefly brainwashed by Hanazawa is briefly brainwashed again, but he's able to shake it off and destroys the fake Mob with vicious psychic attacks. However, when he goes to investigate the destroyed body, a much larger fake Mob emerges, cackling at him, and he realizes it's Dimple in disguise and decides to exorcise him. But the incoming attack doesn't even intimidate Dimple at all. Elsewhere, Minagishi, a former member of Claw and a powerful Esper, works his new job at a flower shop. He notices plants are drooping and their energy is being sapped by roots from the Divine Tree. But when he tries to rip them out, he too becomes brainwashed. As Mob and Reagan make their way through the city towards the Divine Tree, they decide they may need some help, so they go to recruit Ritsu to join them after he leaves a very odd school council meeting where they voted to make the school worship the Psycho Helmet. As they walk through the city, both Mob and Ritsu agree the vibes are kind of just off around this religion and around the city. So to make them feel better, Ritsu offers both Mob and Reagan Divine Tree candy that he was offered at the school student council meeting, but he's the only one that eats it. As they walk, he leads a confused Mob and Reagan to the Civic Center, where they are confronted by Psycho Helmet followers who try to stop them from destroying the tree. And weirdest of all, Ritsu now seems to agree with them. Freaked out, Reagan tells Mob to run, so they leave. And Reagan explains, hey, they are brainwashing everybody. And as he's explaining this, people on the street start approaching them, telling them not to hurt the tree. They run, and realizing whoever Psycho Helmet is a powerful Esper that must be stopped. However, a short while later, Reagan starts to think, hey, you know what? Maybe this cult is harmless after all. Tries to talk Mob out of going through with the plan. Mob realizes the psychic energy around the city must have affected Reagan. He too is brainwashed. He walks away from Reagan to the Divine Tree, where the gathered crowd, including all of his friends and schoolmates, cheer him on as the second founder. A voice welcomes him, saying that all of this power and popularity could be his. As Mob approaches, he asks, you know, how all this could possibly be, and the voice answers that the collective belief of all these people has made him and the tree strong. That he intends to become a god and lead these people, these people's hearts to peace. Mob questions this, but the voice insists the followers are happy. That is, except Hanazawa, who he has imprisoned in the tree. At that moment, Mob realizes Dimple is behind all of it. He tells him to release the people, but Dimple says, hey, you're the last one in the city that's not on board, and that none of the people are going back to how it was, all right? Eventually, that religion will spread around the country, then around the world, and the powers of those prayers will make him all-powerful, and he offers Mob a place at his side. Mob refuses, saying Dimple is playing dirty with his mind control, and then frees Hanazawa. However, Hanazawa is also under Dimple's mind control, and Mob tries to destroy the tree. His friend attacks him. Mob has control at first, but Dimple gives Hanazawa power from the tree, increasing his strength, and Mob is forced to dig deep, driving his power percentage higher, blasting Hanazawa away from the tree, and hopefully Dimple's influence. Dimple then creates an army of fake mobs, sending them to attack, but Mob easily breaks them apart, saying Dimple must be scared of him. But after a while, Mob collapses in exhaustion from all of it, realizing the tree is also draining his psychic abilities. With Mob at his weakest, Dimple appears in front of him and taunts him, saying that joining the religion is the only way for him to be with his crush Tsunami, and that otherwise she's just not really interested in him. This drives his percentage even higher, and he grabs Dimple by his ghost tail, slaps him around, slams him down to the ground. And Dimple grows angry and manifests a golden form of himself to fight Mob. Using this golden form, he throws Mob around like a rag doll, telling him that Mob's energy is, you know, not infinite, and eventually he will defeat him. But Mob keeps getting back up and telling Dimple he, you know, you're simply a fake. It enrages the spirit, and Dimple blasts Mob with a ray of godly energy. But even after Mob stands, Dimple can feel his rage just swirling in the smoke. Mob asks if their friendship was ever real, and Dimple confesses he was always just using Mob before rushing in for another punch. Just as he is about to hit Mob, the smoke blows away and reveals that under Mob's school uniform has been destroyed, and his monkey shirt that he bought with Hanazawa is revealed, which Dimple tells him is lame, sending Mob to 100%. Mob thinks back on all the people refusing to tell him that they didn't like his shirt as Dimple continues to insult it. He incenses Mob's energy to spike, and Dimple panics, sending Mob flying with an attack. But he's surprised to find that there's no retaliation. Mob gets up and tells him, hey, listen, there's no need to fight. I understand now why Dimple did what you did, Dimple. Mob explains that he trusts Dimple. He was the only person to tell him the truth, even though it wasn't pleasant. He realizes Dimple was always honest with him, and instead of returning that trust and honesty, he was a bad friend of the spirit, getting full of himself and telling Dimple to completely disregard his dreams that he shared with Mob. Mob apologizes to Dimple and realizes that, you know, there's truth in what Mob said, that even when he attained his dream, he didn't really feel happy because he was alone. Through all of this, he wanted to take over the world and be worshipped, but really what all he ever wanted deep down was a friend. With this breakthrough, Dimple agrees, hey, I'll let everybody go. Without the power of prayer, this tree will just wither away and die. And as they leave, Mob is too weak to walk, so Dimple carries him out of the tree just as his friend falls asleep. But when Dimple thinks he's alone, he hears another voice call out to him, and it is the divine tree, and it does not want to be destroyed. It wants to consume Mob and become even more powerful. Dimple, of course, rejects this, and he finds himself under attack by hundreds of fake mobs created by the tree. He places the real Mob under a barrier and goes to battle with the tree and its army of Mob clones. Even as they shoot with their own godly beams, Dimple fights back, taking the soldiers out one by one. The fight breaks out into the night sky, and a crazy psychic battle rages with huge explosions. But as the fake mob army continues to multiply, Dimple just starts running out of energy. He goes to Mob in the tree below and wakes him and tells his friend that, you know, hey, you're amazing for basically just always being yourself and not letting your incredible power corrupt you. And it couldn't have been easy. And he thanks him for all that he's done for the spirit. And Dimple tells him to go home. And hey, you know what? I'll meet up with you later. But as Mob leaves, we see he is badly wounded, and with the fake giant Mob waiting for him just behind him. As Mob leaves, the divine tree ingests Dimple and takes away all his energy. Outside, Mob tells the crowd to disperse, and the divine tree launches itself into space. Later at home, Ritsu and Mob have no memory of what happened to them or how they got home at all. But everything seems to be back to normal. They wonder if Dimple had anything to do with it, but Mob says, you know, I'll just ask him next time I see him. However, as he falls asleep, he feels deep down that Dimple sacrificed himself to save everyone, and he thanks his friend one last time tearfully as he falls asleep. The end.
Ah, thank you, Rob, for that just sad ending of a recap right there.
The
end. All right. So this far that we've seen of Mob so far, do you think this is as good as a season one and two from how we've seen so far in those first two seasons? Man, tell you something, season two, I don't know.
What are your thoughts on season two, Keenan? How
where's
you
your shirt, Keenan?
Hey, yeah. Man, where's my shirt? It's just like a halter top when I put it on.
It's a halter top?
It's not a halter top, but it's really small on me.
Maybe we can get that returned, because I was like, hey, what size we got to get Keenan?
I just put on some weight. I got a little bit stronger, but I also put a little bit of.
Yeah. I got you. Yeah.
But Even with the first, I remember I seen like the first four or five episodes of season two, and the first episode, the first few episodes of season two was just like I said, was just it was dull to get through. This started off kind of slow too, and even this episode, the first episode on this one, started off kind of like whatever, but then this shit turned the fuck up, and it was really, really good. This reminds me of how I felt about season one. So going off the three seasons that I've watched, I think Mala Guest is back on the right track for me.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying it. What do you think?
I agree. This is kind of the slow episodes at the beginning of every mob season don't really faze me, just based off of like, this is just kind of their cycle. Mm. They set you up with like a bunch of stuff that doesn't really seem related. And then after a few episodes, you realize, oh, it's all coming together in a grand plot that will lead to some crazy action. Mm. And that's kind of what happened in season two. And it happened here too with, them kind of seeing the roots. Even Reagan pointed out when they went to the basement with that yokai hunter that like, oh, there were roots like all through that basement that were related to the divine tree. We didn't know it at the time.
Yeah.
So there's all these threads that they lay out. That being said, I think out of all the three Mob Psycho seasons, this one might be my least favorite. Just because I looked it up afterwards because I was just like, is this the end of the season?
Mm.
But it turns out that we're actually only about like halfway through. Yeah. They're probably going to do another arc, though this seems like the end of an arc. And whereas it felt like in season two and one, it really was all one big arc.
Yeah.
Versus this seems like it's going to be a buildup of maybe two mini ones. And I just don't feel like necessarily this particular arc, while it did have some emotional highs, didn't get to those same action highs or like, oh shit moments that I am used to. Because like, I will say, when Mob's percentage meter was getting closer and closer to 100, I was like, oh shit. Like,
I was hyped.
Super hyped.
Yeah.
As that was going. And then like the next episode that followed, I don't want to say I was disappointed because I think everything that happened with Dimple and all those emotional beats, and Dimple certainly got after it.
Yeah.
But not having Mob do a lot was a bit of a bummer to me because I love Mob.
Yeah, and it was a waste of him going to 100.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt that. I mean, yeah, I just got to say season two has been weaker. After just going through that season, it's just been...
Finish it.
Next question. Has there been an instance when people were really into something and you just didn't get it or see the appeal, Rob?
Absolutely. And since writing this, I've tried to like narrow it down to like one thing. But like, I do feel like that happens all the time. Like where it's just like this one thing is very popular. Sometimes it's even a person, and I'm just like, I'm fucking out.
Yeah.
Especially if like I feel like I'm late to it. I'm just like, you know what? I'm not doing it. I will. One of the ones that I think. Of the things I could pick, I think The Witcher is the thing for me. Everybody that plays, especially The Witcher 3, loves it. I think it won Game of the Year, came out. People are super into it. They're into Gwent and all that. And I'm kind of just like, it doesn't appeal to me as much. Yeah. I don't know if it's just the tone of it. I love fantasy stories usually. It's definitely got that fantasy element. It's got the action. It's got the violence. The main character doesn't do a lot for me.
Mm-mm.
Geralt, I'm kind of like whatever about. And it feels like too often it's just like trying to appeal to me rather than just like doing its own thing. It feels like it's trying to be like, oh, here's a bunch of busty ladies we're going to throw at you that you can sleep with in the game to be like, you feel better about playing a fantasy game. And I'm just like, I don't need that.
Yeah.
So that was one thing that just like everybody, it seemed like that touched The Witcher 3 fucking loved it. And I played with a few hours. There were some cool moments, but I kind of walked away from it, I think with like under 20 hours played at most. And I just like, I'm good.
Yeah. Shit. This is my brother might get on me for this because he's trying to get me back into it. But Pokemon Go, man. For somebody who loved the original Pokemon games, like,
yeah,
loved them. Like I literally almost didn't graduate high school because I was playing them so much in class. My brother is literally like, "Yo, here's my whatever thing for Pokemon Go. Make sure you sign up for it." I'm just like, "All right, cool." And I was just like, he hit me again. He's like, "Did you sign up for Pokemon Go?" Like, bro, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's like, bro, I tried.
Yeah.
I literally tried for like a month or so, and I'm just like, I don't get it anymore.
I get that. There was like when Pokemon Go first dropped, the world changed for a little bit.
Absolutely did.
It was like world peace was attained for like a little bit. There were people like out on the street late at night, just hanging out, like under street lights, just like communities were gathering in real time.
Yeah.
It was so cool. And like, I picked it back up a little bit actually during quarantine.
Oh, okay.
Like during the pandemic. And I was like, every morning, I'm like, let me get my missions done. Let me do this. Let me send out gifts. And then after a while, I was like, this feels like a job.
And that's video games are video games to me. Yeah. I know the gaming world has changed. It is different and you know stuff like that. But for me personally, bro, like I like to play video games as just to kind of cut my brain off and have fun
to escape. I hate video games that are too realistic. Like when you have to eat food, you got to sleep, and you got to fix your equipment when it breaks.
I'm with you. Stop making me cook in video games. I got to cook in real life. I got to feed myself every day. Stop making me cook in video games.
I think that was the why I stopped playing 2K as much. Like when I used to play, I was an NBA Live baby. So like I love NBA Live. And NBA Live was just a video game. You give me some stuff here and there. I didn't mind that. But now, like you say, if I got to rap,
if I got to do like laundry, they're gonna add that to games now too.
Yeah. I finished up a game in 2K, and a fucking like my girlfriend took me out to dinner and yelled at me for wanting to trade or something like that. I'm like, what is happening? What is this game?
Wait. Yo. That is ridiculous.
That's literally something that happened. Because like it's part of the whole my career thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And like part of the story is that like you're kind of like maligned. Like you get drafted, and like the whole storyline is just like there's this other player that you got drafted before, and everybody in your city was just like, no, we wanted this other guy. We don't like the fucking my player dude.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of just like you're trying to do like, but again, it gets into like it feels like a fucking job where you're like, I have to go battle the GM to like prove to him that I should be here. I'm fighting for my minutes. I'm not even sure like in real life, like if I'm like maybe this playing for the Lakers isn't a good fit for me. There's a lot of ego and a lot of I'm having a hard time getting some touches. Like, and I'm in real life thinking like, yeah, I probably should get traded. And in the game, your girlfriend is also your business manager. You go out to a dinner and she's just like, you're not the MP I fell in love with. Like, you want to trade? You want to give up on this? I'm like, what is happening? Skip.
Skip.
So I'm doing a lot of skipping in 2K these days.
Let me tell you something. If I might have broken my controller or something. Because imagine getting into an argument with your real girlfriend. You cut the game on to escape her shit.
And now you're getting out with your video game girlfriend. Yeah.
Whoa. That can literally drive you into some real fucking issues.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that wild.
My career needs to take like at least a half a step back. I feel like they got it right in 2K17 where there's just like some things that you can do that are side missions, but it's mostly just like, just give me to practice, give me to the game.
Yeah.
I don't want to be fucking taking side missions to go meet Jake from State Farm. I don't need it. I do not need it.
I'm guessing players that play the game a lot and like probably that are top dogs in the gaming thing for 2K are probably giving the feedback what they want.
Yeah.
Like, we want this. It would probably be more realistic if we did this. This would be fun if we had these options, and it should be more real here. So I'm guessing that's probably what's happening when they're getting feedback and they're adding this stuff.
Yeah.
But, bro, like, that's literally – when I remember I was creating a player. Like, I bought 2K22, I think it was.
Yeah.
23's out right now, right?
23's out right now. 22
so I bought the one that had, I think, Luke on the cover?
Yeah.
So I bought that recently, somewhat recently for for my Switch, and creating the player, I was just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I was creating the player. I was just like, you know what? I'm done with this. Like,
it's a lot.
It's like when I used to create players on the other games, whether it was like Madden, it's like you put your stuff at whatever, or if you're playing on NCAA football, you know, you come in there, you create that player, you get good, and then they get drafted. And you have some stuff, some My Life stuff in there a little bit, but it wasn't too crazy.
Yeah, I agree. Like, that's what I liked about 2K17. I even liked the system because that was the one with Michael B. Jordan. Did you play that one?
No, I didn't play it.
I thought that one was cool because then you had like a duo. Like, you came in as two rookies the same year, and Michael B. Jordan was essentially your point guard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it changes up if you pick point guard as a position because I had a small forward. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but I thought I liked that system. And like, when you two got your chemistry going, you could switch between the players.
Oh, dope.
And I thought that was cool. Yeah. And that was like the most I ever wanted. Now it's like, there's just so much.
Yes, Two-Face cosplay said side mission slice of life. Like,
yeah, I agree,
bro. Yeah, and so imagine when virtual reality gets like top notch. This I can understand how people be like, this could be virtual reality that we're in right now.
Yeah.
Imagine somebody living a different life, just like, my life is trash. So I'm gonna go in here and try to build this other guy's life and be a comedian and be, you know, run a business and shit. Like, cause I hate being a comedian in that world. So I'm gonna be a regular business person in this world. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, it's a lot, man.
No. Then, and one more, yeah, shout out to Light Yagamichi one more time, because he said you didn't decorate your island on Animal Crossing. No, I didn't play Animal Crossing because I already have a job.
I mean, that shit too.
I don't have any debt to pay off. Yeah, it's like a raccoon.
Yeah, it's like you gotta Animal Crossing is like mortgage the video game. Like, I'm good. I'm all set.
Yeah, he said I almost got fired because Animal Crossing. Then like Yagami said, I did get fired because of Animal Crossing.
It's like, so much.
Like, it was like, I mean, like I said, my boy, I mean, he wasn't really my friend, but when I was in college, we had to do a group project, and I was telling you about the World of Warcraft thing, and he was saying how this guy, like I said, he was a handsome guy. You could tell he gets a lot of women. And we were in class, and I was like, man, I don't see the appeal in World of Warcraft. He was just like, and he looked at me, and he said, there's a lot of appeal in World of Warcraft. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, bro, I lost my lady. I lost my job. And I'm laughing, right? And he's he's looking at me. He's not moving. He's just like, I'm not fucking joking with you.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at him like, I didn't even know you played. He's like the type of dude that goes, works out, hits the gym, goes after girls at bars. He's like, bro, I had no motivation to do any of that shit. He was like, even when it came to fucking my girlfriend, he was just like, I was sick.
People get real life addicted to it. For sure they do.
He was saying he will fake sicknesses. Hey, I'm tired. I'm sick. I don't feel good. I can't come over today. And I was just like,
that is crazy.
That's insane to me.
I know.
And if this shit is this is what this is becoming to me. It's like, that's kind
of
scary.
And then, I had a roommate too that was super into World of Warcraft for a while. And like, you know, when I play video games, I like to relax, you know, like have a drink or two, like hang out, you know, whatever. I'm relaxing. And like, I remember he was just like, I was like, oh, Chris, like, you hanging out tonight? You want to do anything? He's like, no, I got a raid tonight. Like, I got to stay sharp. He was just like, he's not smoking, he's not drinking, he's not doing any of that, because he's like, I got to make sure I'm on my stuff, like, for this raid tonight. I'm like, when the video game becomes like that, it's too much.
Yeah.
It's too serious.
That's how I know. When I played Madden, I was literally like, I called out of work before when I was playing Madden. Cause I was like, I got a playoff game against, you know, a team, and I was just like, they whipped my ass twice this season already. I need to get this game, and I need to make sure I get my shit together. And nah, man, it's kind of why I'm afraid to get back fully engulfed into video games unless I'm getting paid.
I know. Yeah, I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? If I'm getting paid for it, I can kind of see it, because it's like, all right, cool, you're
paying
me.
Or it's a straightforward game that doesn't have all that fluff.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just give me a game that can shoot stuff and then we're good.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of single-player games that are story-motivated, like, you just play through.
Yeah.
Versus, like, a lot of multiplayer stuff that's like MMO, it's like, it's endless.
Yeah.
Like, they will keep adding shit to keep you there just forever.
Yeah. Next question, and this might be kind of a weird, tough one, but has someone's belief in something ever made you scared and or stop talking to them? And it doesn't have to be religion related. Mine is kind of religion related. I won't go into the religion that it was, but like, I had a friend when they finally got, you know, found the religion that they were really into, like, the way they were like hounding us was like, bro, like, I'm like this, whatever's for you is for you. Yep. You know what I'm saying? I'm not against religion, but like, I feel like you just learned this and you're learning a lot.
It's like the one person who has that one story and they keep telling that one story and they keep telling you that one fact.
Yeah,
and it's just like over and over and every day, and it's just like, you're you know, if you don't do this, it's going to happen to you. I'm like, fam, I mean, what have you even read so far? I feel like somebody gave you a pamphlet.
Yeah. And now you're talking like Jesus. It's
yeah.
Like, no,
and knowing this person, they had went through something crazy in their life, and this thing kind of like,
It swoops in and fills that hole.
Right. Yeah. And it kind of saved them. I mean, and I was happy for them for that.
Yeah.
For sure. But I was like, fam, like, right now you are like, this is kind of like, I can't even have a discussion with you because everything gets weaved back into this. It's like, we're talking hoop right now and you weaved it back into that. We're talking rap. You weaved it back into that.
Yeah,
it's just like,
that can be a lot.
It's like, bro, like, if I can't have a normal conversation with you.
Yeah.
You know, then I luckily, I didn't actually cut the ties. That person cut the ties. It's just like, yo, I just feel like you guys we're not on the same wavelength anymore, in a sense.
Sometimes that happens.
And it was just like, we wasn't like pissed off. We're just like, hey, man, you know.
Sometimes that's the way it goes.
Yeah, do what you got to do. And, you know, we here still. But like, yeah, we can't go that hard with you with that right now. Like, we just started having sex. So we just started seeing like getting the real taste of vagina. No pun intended. So I'm like, bro, like I'm not going back, baby.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead, Rob.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. I mean, just to get into some situations have been serious. I'm not going to get into those.
Right.
But like, I mean, honestly, a lot of this Trump shit.
Yeah.
You know, I had a lot of friends and family back home that I was like, I don't like to cut off people because like we don't see eye to eye on stuff. Like, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to. But like, kind of like what you were saying about your buddy, like when it becomes your entire personality, when that's all you talk about, when everything comes back to that, it's just like, I can't talk to you about it anymore, especially when you don't want to see reason or hear somebody else out. And I had a particular buddy that that he was sharing a lot of stuff just kind of on like Facebook, really. It was a lot of like infographics of just like, here's this graph of like this, of voter fraud or like black on black crime. And I'm like, bro, there's no source on this, on this graph or any of this data. Or I could go to the website that he's referencing and find that on that actual website, the information that he's sharing does not match the information that's on the website. And I would comment on his stuff and he would just never address it. And eventually I was just like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. And I just had to be like, all right, like we got to go our separate ways.
Yeah. Now I'm with you. My thing is like, if especially when it comes to something like politics, right?
Yeah.
It's like, if you're open to have the discussion and be like, all right, if you're giving me information, be like, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, damn, that makes sense. I said, maybe I was just kind of like a little blinded because of whatever party I associate with. But it's just like, if you're just like, nah, boom, 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 boom. It's just like, It's hard to be on Twitter for me right now because of politics. Like,
yeah,
politics
I get it.
Politics is one of the main reasons why I'm not on Twitter as much as I used to be. Because it's just like, bro, it's a lot of motherfuckers on every side that's just saying a whole bunch of shit that I'm just like, I don't even know if everybody does even really understand what they're saying right now. I don't even know. So it's just one of those things. Like, I just be like, all right, man, just, you know.
Yeah.
Like you said, I don't want to befriend, like, stop being somebody's friend because it's just like you.
That seems so petty. And, yeah. Like, there's so much more to life than that. But sometimes, like, especially with, you know, some of this recent stuff, like.
Yeah, and if it's taking over your whole life and if you, like, you're engulfed in that so much, it's just like, all right, man, you know what? if you're bringing it back into hoops, I'm like, all right.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like,
fuck out of here, bro.
Somebody in the chat spec, said QAnon took a hold of a lot of people. It literally did.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that I know that fell into that rabbit hole, and I'm just like, I can't do this.
Yeah,
I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, it's wild. Last question: do you think Dimple deserved forgiveness, and that Mob was in the wrong, Rob?
I've been wrestling with this one. I got to be honest with you. I don't necessarily have a whole answer because I'm just like, was Mob a bad friend? Yeah, a little bit. He was. Like when Dimple came to him and was just like, hey, man, we should do all this stuff. And he was just like, but here's the thing. Mob was right. Mob was telling Dimple a very hard truth of just like, hey, your shit doesn't work out and you're not a good leader and you're not good for people and you don't have their best interests in mind. And he was straight with him about it. And Dimple felt badly about that and did what he did. And I don't know that Mob, there's a part of me that's just like, Mob, like, don't, like, stick to your guns, man. Like, Dimple was wrong for this. So I'm glad that they were able to put shit aside and see eye to eye and realize, like, hey, you know, we both did some wrong. Let's, you know, let's hash this out and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly could have talked about this earlier. But at the same time, like, Mob wasn't wrong for stopping Dimple from making a cult.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you weren't being a bad friend from being like, hey, man, that's a stupid idea. Like, I understand, like, he's sharing his dream with you or whatever, but that's a stupid dream.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cult, bro. Dream. It's a cult, bro. I mean, when I saw your question, I was like, what? Like, I was like, I guess the way my friends and I have always grown up.
Yeah.
The truth and facts over your feelings.
Sure.
It's like, I feel like my friends do a pretty good job of actually just being fully, fully honest. Like, there's no real softening of the blow. It's like, we tell you straightforward, no chaser, right? But I do feel like sometimes you got to be sensitive to certain friends of how you deliver things. And maybe Mob could have delivered it a little bit different.
Yeah.
But I think the message should have been put across to Dimple. It's like, bro, like, no matter what you say, you're not convinced me that a cult's a fucking good idea.
Yeah.
There's no way. And do you think you can do? Does Dimple deserve forgiveness? When I was watching this, I was like, fuck no. Mm. Absolutely. Like, I mean, here's the thing. Maybe I can, you know what? I can forgive, but I'm not forgetting.
Sure.
So I think for me, now you're somebody that you're at a distance to me. Like I don't know if Dimple's gonna come back from this or not. I don't know if he's gonna, you know, he might.
My assumption is no.
No. I don't know why I feel like this might not be the end of Dimple. Like there might be something, or like Mob might be like, oh, he might drop a tear, and that tear somehow hits some of the water, and then he comes back or some bullshit.
Yeah, I
you
can
know.
See that.
But I just don't see, like, I don't see myself. If you're talking about Kenan Baker, like, I don't see myself being as cool as we were.
Yeah,
there's no way I can never fully trust you.
Yeah,
and it's just like, because you took, first of all, I'd rather you have a discussion with me, and like, if I said something that might even hurt your feelings, I'd rather us have a discussion before you just go off and then do some wild shit and then fucking, you know, turn your back on me and try to do some shit like that to me. That's just me personally,
yeah.
How I feel.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, that's Mob Psycho Season 3, episodes 4 through 6.
4 through 6, yeah.
Likes and dislikes for this. Go ahead, Robbie, go first.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I kind of said it earlier. I was definitely disappointed that we didn't get to see Mob do his thing. Like, when I think about some of my favorite characters in anime, I think Mob is up there for me. Just because, like, when I look at my favorite characters, the kind of characters I like are people that, like a Gohan, like, he's unassuming. You don't really think a whole lot necessarily about him. But when you fuck with him, he goes off.
Yep.
I really like those kind of characters because they try to make the right choices at every turn. And they only go off when you give them no other option.
Yeah.
So you know when they go crazy, they're going on crazy on somebody who fucking deserves it.
Yep.
And I kind of wanted to see him do that to Dimple because I'm like, Dimple fucked up here. And I'm like, I will say I think the emotional beats of the last episode of episode 6 that we watched here were successful. I did feel, you know, for their friendship, and I was glad to see them like kind of patch things up and talk things out, and ultimately for Dimple to make the right call and sacrifice himself for everybody else.
Mm.
I think that worked. But fuck, did I want to see Mob beat the shit out of him and just be like, dude, this was bad. This was a bad idea. So I will say I was a little disappointed by the end of this arc. That being said, the action when Dimple started doing his thing, like going off against that army of like mob clones, was fucking awesome. I thought that was gorgeously animated, mm-hmm. as always. Even seeing Mob and Hanazawa kind of get their rematch was pretty cool. But this definitely did not wind up where I wanted it to. So for that, I would give this stretch. Again, I have to keep reminding myself that it's not the end because it definitely felt like it. I would give this stretch, 6,800.
6,800. I mean, I agree with you. I'll be real with you. I've never really been a fan of Dimple.
Okay. I don't blame you.
I'm not a fan of the character. I thought they should have got rid of him after season one, scrapped the first time. I didn't see no real need for that character. I feel like he has Reagan for his guy in a sense.
Yeah.
So we don't necessarily need a Dimple. So I had no feelings for him. I agree. The animation went hard as fuck. The fighting went hard as fuck. I was hyped to see Mob get to 100 and then destroy this man, and he didn't. And I was just like, it's like blue balls. It was just like,
yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it was just like, yo, are you serious right now?
Yeah.
I watched the shows for Mob to get to 100 in a sense. So it's like, not seeing that, not seeing him be able to get active, not really caring about Dimple so much. Watching these stretches, like the animation was great. The action part of it was great. I will say it was up there top notch.
Sure.
That's what saves the score from dropping hella low. Mm. But 6,500 for me. Mob, man, they calling you the goat out here, bro. I don't see it.
Yeah, goat maybe strong.
I mean,
I enjoy the show a lot.
I just had it as one of his goats.
He does have it in his top five. He does.
Top five, maybe top three or whatever. Well, I forgot what it was, but is it top three, did he say?
I don't think top three, but definitely top five. And it wasn't mine, too. We'll see. We'll see where this
is. It was in top five also?
I could see it being in my top five. I like it a lot, and I like Mob as a character a lot.
I don't know.
And watched, Reagan.
Season 2 put it in my top 5. This newest season, I haven't seen all of it, and I haven't caught up where you guys are.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, I would say Keenan. Like, I know we joke about it, but, like, honestly, like, the reason I think I was so disappointed, too, is because you get that in season 2.
Mm.
You get Mob going fucking crazy on people because they did what it takes to get Mob to that point.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of being like, oh, here we go again. And, like, I know, like, every time Mob goes to 100, it's, like, a little bit different. Like, they kind of, like, it's 100% rage or it's 100% trust or 100%, like, whatever. And this one is probably my least favorite.
Yeah.
100% nothing. Yeah.
Essentially, yeah. Catch up, Cam. Where are you? Watch another season.
I've probably got these two episodes to watch.
Okay, yeah. I know how far behind you were. All right, yeah. So, I mean, yeah. That's another question. So yeah, that's it for our episode, you guys. Let us know what you think in the comment section. How you guys feel about My Hero and Mob? What do you think is the better out of the two right now that you're watching? I mean, I think our answer is clear. It's My Hero. Watching these two, it's clearly My Hero for me. Because I watched Mob after this. I was just like, that was probably a problem. Because I watched My Hero. I was just like, and then I went to Mob. I was just like, the acting part was cool. But I was just like, damn, I probably should have watched Mob first. Mob is 8,500 for all three seasons so far, like Yagami.
I mean, I don't agree, but not bad. I mean, I would give the first two seasons definitely 8,000 level scores. This one just isn't measuring up to me, in my opinion.
Hopefully there's six more episodes.
Hopefully in these last six episodes. Because I will say, like, generally, Mob builds up and gets better as it goes.
Fair.
We'll see.
All right. Yeah, so next episode, we'll be covering Chainsaw Man again, Chainsaw and Bleach.
Bleach, that's going to be intense.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it. Bleach came out today, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it or not?
I didn't watch today's episode, but last week's episode, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, did we cover last week's episode?
No.
No, we didn't because it drops on Monday.
Right. Yeah. Okay, shit.
Which is when we stream. So
yeah, so we gotta watch.
It'll be next episode. You guys will be watching last week's episode, and what is this week's episode? What dropped today on the 14th?
Right, and you and Brendan both won't be here.
Yeah, we'll be out of town.
Okay,
it's for work. Not work, not play.
All good. Is that Thanksgiving week? Right?
Yeah. Monday.
Got it. All right. Yeah. Thanks for the people that showed up to Cleveland. I appreciate you guys. Some people showed up. I'll be honest. The first few shows, Thursday and Friday, I didn't bomb by any means, but it's like, I didn't get a good energy of the crowd for real.
Really?
I was just like, damn, man, I don't know what it is. I've maybe coming off Houston, my energy was so high and the shows were so great that I was anticipating just high energy again from this. And then it was
different,
just like,
towns give you different stuff.
Absolutely. I was just like, eh. And then Saturday's Cleveland shows was just like, boom.
Okay.
It was like, you know. But shout out to people who still came through, supported, bought merch. I came back with some of the beanies. Beanies are pretty seasonal because, you know, it's hot and cold.
I'm about to bring mine to New Mexico for this shoot.
Oh, the beanie?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Rob, yes.
I'll be rocking the Kenan Baker beanie on set.
You get the purple one, right?
Yes.
Nice. So, yeah, so watch that Bleach and the Chainsaw Man. And what do you have for us, Rob?
I got an artist for you named IC Kim. Mary Kim on Instagram, but her handle is ICKim, ISEEKIM, just like it sounds. She's got a pretty cool style. She's got a lot of really cool anime characters up on her main feed. When I screen captured this, she had some stuff from Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. She has Greed on there, the original, and then also Chainsaw Man below that. Really dope style. And check her out.
All right, man. Ice.McGowan on everything. Brennan is awesome. Or Brennan produces on every single thing. Shout out to Ask Ketchum, man. He finally fucking won.
Not impressed. I did it when I was 10. And it didn't take me that long. I figured out how to beat the Pokemon League very fast.
Yeah, I mean, low-key, Ice might be kind of trash. I mean, not Ice. Ice might be kind of trash, right?
A little bit, right?
Man, I mean, he's missing the T and R? That's what he's missing from his name, right?
Trash. Absolutely.
Because I was pretty, I got it pretty quickly too, man.
I'm just saying, like, how long was your playthrough on Pokemon? Probably not longer than, like, you know, 12, 14 hours of playthrough. Come on. Hit that. I'm just saying. It took me less than a day, Ash. 25 years? Are you kidding me?
Hey, Ash, I tried to give you props, man. How old are you now? Like 40-something years old and you just fucking did it?
I'm just kidding. Congratulations, Ash. Very happy for you.
All right, man. Thank you. Keenan Baker on every single thing. You might see me doing some guest spots in Phoenix, Arizona with Tony middle of December, and then New Year's, if you're at Virginia Beach, I will be in Virginia Beach and New Year's, the New Year's Eve and stuff like that with Tony Baker at Virginia Beach doing some shows. And yeah, man, thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of Animation.
And so anime was solved forever.